Let's pray. God, thank you for today. God, thank you for who you are. God, thank you that we can come together in this moment, in this season. And God, thank you that, God, what you did changed the world, and we get to celebrate that. The reason we gather is because you came. God, thank you that you're a solution to the problem of sin. God, thank you that you save us. Thank you that you forgive us. Thank you, no matter what we're facing today, that you are a promised God that says you are for us and not against us. Thank you, God, that even though we might be walking through trouble or deep waters or we're in the valley today, God, thank you that your promise is that you're with us. God, we give you the praise and honor that you're worthy of. God, I just pray these next couple moments, God, that you'd hear our prayers. God, that you would open our hearts, that our heart would be soft towards you today. God, we need you. We rely on you. We trust you today. And God, maybe for some, that is a faith statement today. Maybe for some, that is a difficult thing to even utter those words. But God, we do. We trust your plan. We trust your purpose today. Would you help us to see clearly? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So this season, obviously, for many, it's Advent, which is the word Advent is just a simple word that means the coming or the arrival. And so we're celebrating Christmas because of the coming of Jesus. This is why we celebrate. It's also this arrival moment. We're anticipating his second return. And we're going to talk a lot today from a perspective that I think should be good news for all of us in this room because of what Jesus has done. In Luke chapter 2, there's a couple verses that I just want to highlight. I just want to go through. Because Advent is this time where we set time aside. I've found in life that when you're busy, a couple things tend to happen. You either get aware of the busyness. Maybe that reminder is that there's somebody in your life that says, you're too busy. Or there's somebody in your life that says, it's too crazy or it's chaotic or something happens to you. I tend to find that anytime that I'm under the weather, I need to slow down. I need to readjust some things. And so Advent is also this opportunity to reflect, to see things from a different perspective. And a lot of times things happen in our lives where we're able to see from a different perspective. We're able to see from an understanding of I'm different now because of what I've gone through, and now I see things a little differently. This is what this season is. This is what Christmas is. This is God coming to earth to be a solution in the middle of chaos. I'm so grateful that during a time in our lives where chaos is happening, that God can still show up. I'm so grateful that in a time where I may not have all of the answers, there is one that still extends grace and mercy and peace, even in the middle of the chaos. So Luke chapter 2, probably one of my favorite verses around Christmas, and I'll explain why here in a second. But I'm going to read 12 verses for you. It's on the screen. It's in YouVersion. It's in your Bible. I'm reading from the NLT. It says this. It says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. Maybe those are the three words you need to hear today. He said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, I don't know what you'd be saying to one another at this moment. First thing I'm probably saying is, I just wet myself. Anyway, maybe you are saying something else. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village, found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. I love this part. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying, praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. This to me, these 12 verses, these few paragraphs, it begins with this birth announcement, this grand announcement to the world. It's the first time after Jesus is born that this announcement is being made. The hope that you and I have is that it didn't go to kings and queens, those in authority, those that were deemed by society as the most holy. It went to the everyday man, the dirty shepherds. And there's so much significance about these ordinary, average Joe, night shift working in the middle of night animal tenders, unlikely, unexpected recipients of the message of peace, wholeness, and God's favor. It didn't say, and the angel showed up at the palace and let the king know. The angel showed up at the White House. The angel showed up on Capitol Hill. The angel showed up in Springfield or Chicago. The angel showed up, right? It didn't say that. It said, in the middle of the night, to a bunch of stinky, uneducated, unpopular, unclean bunch of men who had no story except this is our job. This is what we do. And this whole experience begs the question, why does God announce the most important message of all time to these individuals, these unexpected, unrelying, unassuming guys? These shepherds were nothing special. They had no entitlement. They had no pride. There was no arrogance. They were the have-nots. They were the examples of God raising and using the humble and turning around the world as we knew it. Think about this for a moment. His first coming shocked the world. What do you think his second coming is going to do? His first coming shocked the world because these shepherds, they were unworthy. These shepherds were told specifically, you're not good enough. You're not good enough for God. This is what they're constantly told. A shepherd would be out for weeks, months on end. They couldn't come back to the temple. They were declared ceremonially unclean. These were the men. In other words, they missed a lot of church. They missed a lot of life groups. There was a lot of assumption about these individuals. The people would assume about these people because they were never around. And you know what it feels like to be assumed about. This is the shepherds. They felt unworthy because people made them feel unworthy. Because life made them feel unworthy. They hung out with sheep. How do you think these unworthy individuals smelled? Pretty? Good? No. They were dirty. They were damaged. They were not considered spiritually clean by the religious elite. Yet in this moment, God shows up. God shows up to them. And this is why it gives us hope. Why it gives us hope is that I can be dirty. I could be unworthy. I could be tainted by my past. I could be walking around doing a lot of other things and messed up my life. And yet I could be in this moment, in the middle of the night, and God still shows up and makes the announcement to someone like me. This is why. Because these men were not just unworthy, they're inadequate. Again, they were uneducated. They didn't measure up by society's standard. And one of the biggest rules that you had to keep as a religious person was the Sabbath. These guys couldn't keep the Sabbath. They couldn't keep the Sabbath because they worked 24/7. They were around-the-clock individuals. So they already were outcast because they couldn't keep the Sabbath. They couldn't come to the temple. And so there was this mindset about these men. Because they were unclean, there was an announcement about them being unclean. There was an announcement about them being unworthy and inadequate. And because of that, these men would walk into places and they would be shunned. They would be lied about. And all of these things would happen to these men. Not only did they feel unworthy or inadequate, they also felt unloved. In reality, most of the shepherds were thieves. Most of the shepherds were men that stole. And even if you weren't, you had a reputation because that's what the majority did. It tends to still be our problem in culture that we get guilty by association. These guys were no different. These guys were the men that had horrible reputations. Nobody wanted to be around them. Nobody trusted them. Their word didn't matter in court. Their word didn't matter. Nobody was asking these men if they wanted to be married. They weren't allowed to marry because no father would give his daughter away to a shepherd. Like, imagine these conversations, you guys. You can't come into court and plead a case even though you've seen something, even though you're a witness, because you're a shepherd. Put that into your trade today. Because you're a student, because you're young, because you're a lawyer, because you're a doctor, whatever it is that you do, put that in the category. You're not allowed to come here because you're unworthy, you're inadequate, you're not loved. Get away from us. Yet this is the announcement that God chooses to make every single one of us in this room that have had anything happen to us in our past. This should be the greatest message in all of the land, in all of the world. This should be the greatest, because at some point you felt unworthy. At some point you felt inadequate. And at some point you did not feel loved. And yet God shows up and says, listen, I see you. You know, the biggest thing that the world wants to have right now is to be seen. And God comes and goes, I see you. Romans chapter 3 says this. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true, get this, for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. Paul's telling the Roman church, listen, religion didn't work for the shepherds, and it's not going to work for us either. You know why the shepherds, it was so difficult for them? Because according to the law, there were 613 laws. And because the shepherds couldn't obey the Sabbath, couldn't obey some of these laws, they were outcasts. The reality is, no one can obey all 613 laws. So if you're trying to obey the law, and this is where you're finding salvation, he's going, it's impossible. And this is why Jesus came. He came to fulfill the law. This is why Jesus says, here's the two new laws. Love Jesus with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do these two things. Do these two things. Stop trying to obey anything and everything. Shepherds, it's impossible, and it's impossible for you too. This is why we live everything that we do from a relationship standpoint with Jesus. It's not religion that will save you. It is a relationship that will save you. Okay? A relationship. He said, love Jesus. And when you love Jesus, when you and Jesus are good, you and your wife are going to be good. You and your kids are going to be good. Why? Because you're loving them from a standpoint of loving Jesus first. He didn't say love others and then on the back end, love God. He didn't say that. He said it starts here. This is why Matthew 6:33 is above all else, right? Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things. What things? Whatever things you got going on. Whatever things they are that are happening, your work things, all of these things are going to fall in place. Why? Because you and Jesus are good. And I love it. I love meeting with people and going, my husband's this, my kids are this, my wife is this. I'm like, but okay, but let's back up. Yes, she might be that. And yes, he might be that. But how are you and Jesus? Oh, I haven't had a devotion life. Sorry, I haven't been at church. Sorry, I haven't been doing these things. Listen, you get Jesus right, you're going to see your wife right. That's where it comes from. See, we try to make religion save us, and it's impossible. See, we do religion based on what I do. If I would do these 613 laws, I'm going to check these off my list. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to go, do, do, do. No. Jesus comes in and says, I do relationship. I've already done this. Now walk in it. See, you and I are trying to earn salvation. We're trying to make salvation happen. Jesus goes, why are you reinventing the wheel? I've already done this. You want religion to be due. Jesus said relationship is done. Like, it's over with. I've already done this. Stop trying to reinvent this. Have a relationship with me and watch how things radically change in your life. This is why Ephesians 2 says what it says. For God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Listen, this is God's gift to you. Stop trying to take credit for all the things that you do and understand what he's done. This is why this is so important. Because to the religious leaders of the day, they want to know why the announcement wasn't made to them. They want to know, like, whoa, 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 I've been following the law. This is why the prodigal son's brother is so crazy, because he's like, I've done all of these things. I've loved you. I've tended. You said jump. I said how high. And he comes back and he's like, I want to know what's going on. And Jesus comes in and says, listen, you're working this thing. I've given you a gift. Do something with this gift. Do something with this. Listen, there's a big difference between I have to and I get to. Your relationship with Jesus, listen, you go to your wife and say, I have to be married to you. Let me know how that goes. Let me know. Oh, I have to have these kids. Or listen, you're not the babysitter. You're the dad. You get to. You get to. I get to have a relationship with Jesus because he gave me access. Because in the middle of the night, he showed up to someone just like me, dirty, smelly, stinky, an outcast. And he says, here is the hope. I've come so that you might experience joy. And this joy isn't for a select few. It is for all who believe. And this is the good news. This is the good news of the gospel. Paul told Timothy this in 1 Timothy 1:15. He says, this is a trustworthy saying. I love how he opens up. This is a trustworthy saying. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. Paul's saying, listen, I'm the worst of them all. Hear what I'm about to say to you. Until you see yourself as a sinner, you will not see your need for a Savior. Until you see yourself as a sinner, you'll never see your need for a Savior. Listen, as long as it's somebody else's fault, you'll never need a Savior. As long as everything that's happened to you is always somebody else's fault and I'm not taking responsibility, until I, like Paul, go, listen, I need his grace because I've messed up. And not only have I messed up, but I've messed up as worse as everybody else. Listen, when you compare your life to other people, you're always going to be able to be better than someone. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, compare your life to his standard, and where do we fall in line then? Well, God, to your standard, I mess up. To your standard, I miss the mark. To your standard, he goes, yes. Now that you've discovered that, you see the need for a Savior. See, you and I, we wrestle with peace with God. You know when I find peace with God? When I recognize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and it's not everybody else's fault, but I'm taking responsibility for who I am as a son of Jesus Christ, as a son in the kingdom of God. I have a responsibility, and that responsibility includes repentance and humility, and saying I'm wrong, and saying I'm sorry, and putting my foot in my mouth. It means being humbled by life circumstances, and that it's not always going to be easy. It's going to be difficult at times. And these are the promises of God, that he loves us in the middle of all of this. And this is why I need his grace, because a relationship can save you, but a religion cannot. It cannot. And we're working. There's something else that happens that I just want to side note. There's something else that happens that I think is so unique with the shepherds. He comes to a shepherd because the sheep were a pretty big deal to the Jewish people. And I find this very fascinating. I find it very fascinating that as a Jew growing up, as atonement for your sin, you would take the best lamb or the best sheep that you had, and you would sacrifice that, and it would atone for the sins of your... So shepherds understood this, right? This is the reason John, in John 1, says what he says. The next day, John saw Jesus coming, his cousin coming. I'm assuming at some point they've crossed paths as family. But John sees Jesus coming, and what's he say? He says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is before Jesus was baptized. This was before Jesus died on the cross. He says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See, he came to a shepherd, kind of foreshadowing. Listen, there will be a day where you will no longer have to slaughter a lamb. You will no longer, because I have come. And because I've come, my number one purpose in coming is to save sinners from their sin. My number one reason is to lay down my life as the Lamb of God. This brings great to reconcile the sin of man to the humanity and the deity of who Jesus is. And because of that, you and I can be forgiven. Because of that, you and I can be transformed. Because of that, you and I have a hope that is so needed in our world right now, that despite what is happening around us, God still comes in the middle of the night, in the middle of your chaos. Because this is how peace comes. Peace comes in the midst of our storms. This is the peace of God. He was the ultimate sacrifice for the payment of our sins. His death did away with the need for the sacrificial lamb. And his resurrection made it possible for what? For you and I to live fully alive, to be fully restored, and to be reconciled. Don't forget that he came to save sinners, and he is an eternal God. And in the middle of whatever it is that you're facing, and I know in this room, there are so many things that you're facing right now, and not just because it's 2020. 2020 just added things to your list. You know what 2020 did? It exposed a lot of things. 2020, I will call the great revealer. The great revealer of where I really am. It's revealed some things, you guys. It has revealed some things. And I'm not talking about monetary things. I'm talking about revealed some things inside of us that I think is so... I think what has been revealed the most is that we are a society that is so gripped by fear. I'm not talking about who's doing church and who's willing to wear a mask and how you vote. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we live in a society that is gripped by fear. It kills more people. We don't talk about that. You know why? Because I just want to smile and say, I'm good. I'm good. Things are good. You know what you can't do anymore? You can't smile because I can't see it around that dang mask. You see my smile right now, though, don't you? I'm going to have a clear mask whenever I'm on the sideline one day when I get to coach again. Right, Chris? One day. We hold on to that one day. One day. I just say, you know what we should do, Chris? This is impromptu. You know what we should do? We should put a bunch of horses on our fields.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying, don't you? That's right, you do. All right, anyway. That's awesome. Oh, man. We're using the second service today. Peace in the middle of our storms. Peace in the middle of our storms. This is where God shows up. This is where Christ is born, in the middle of the storms. This is where the angel showed up, in the middle of Israel, in the middle of Israel's darkest night. You know what Israel is under right now? Roman oppression. They're under so much oppression. And in the middle of this, you know what they're screaming? They're screaming, when is the Messiah going to be born? When is he going to come? In the middle of the crazy, God sends this young couple on a crazy journey, years journey, 2 years journey of taxes and census and pregnancy without family. And I mean, you think back, if you're a parent in this room, the first time you had a kid and what it was like, the unknown and all of those things. I mean, it is crazy to think about. And in the middle of all of this, God shows up in the middle of the night in the most unlikely, because he gives peace in the middle of whatever storm you're facing. This is the great hope. God comes in the middle of it and says, listen, in all of these circumstances, in all of these struggles, this is where God showed up. And he still shows up for you. He gives us a peace that defies our circumstances. One of my favorite passages in Philippians chapter 4, one we know a lot, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Love that. It's for the stubborn people in this room who didn't get it the first time, right? Rejoice in the Lord. Nervous laughter from the couple stubborn people in this room or the ones that are willing to admit it. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known or evident to all. That what? The Lord is near. And do not be anxious about anything. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. All understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There is a peace that God brings in the middle of your storms, in the middle of the night, and in the middle of your circumstance. And it might not be that he's changing your circumstance. It might be that he wants to change you. God, why did nothing change? I went to church. I went to A, B, and C. I went to a life group. The coffee was good. People were nice. But God, nothing has changed. And God goes, changing your circumstance wasn't the point. The point was changing you so you see your circumstance differently. You're trying to fight your circumstance, and all the while what you're really doing is you're fighting God. Now you got problems. You thought she was the problem. Now you're fighting against God, and he says, listen, I can give you a peace in the middle of your circumstance. You want to know why in the middle of the boat Jesus was sleeping? Everybody else was freaking out. Everybody else is like, Jesus, where is he? He's downstairs sleeping in the middle of the storm. Why? Because he had a peace despite the circumstance. And last thing, peace is a person. Ephesians 2, a couple verses later from 2 verse 8 says, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. Peace is not just a relationship. Peace is a relationship with Jesus. You will have relationships that come across your life that will be seasonal, and they will bring a comfort. They will bring a peace. They will bring something. But ultimately, Jesus is the only peace that you'll get in a relationship in this lifetime. You're like, well, you don't understand. I'm in the middle of the worst storm I've ever faced. Yeah, and peace is there. You don't understand my circumstances right now. Sure, it's super easy to go like, God, you show up peace in the middle of my circumstance. And he says, listen, the peace that you can have is in a person. This is reason Isaiah says, in the announcement 700 years before Jesus even came, before Jesus was even born, the announcement, the name that was given to him, there was four names that were given to him. And it says this, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. It was like this political tone of Jesus' birth 700 years before. You can see it because the people that were expecting this freedom, they saw Jesus as this political power. They saw Jesus as this political authority that he was going to bring peace on earth. And then Jesus comes, and it's not how they thought he was going to come. It wasn't how they pictured it. And this is what happens. When Jesus does something that you don't understand, you either get on board or you fight it. You fight it. Why? Because it's not how you would have done it. I wouldn't have sent a son. I would have come in. I would have been zapping all the people who ever wronged me. I would have been doing all these other things, and it's not how Jesus would have done it. And because it's not how he would do it, our confusion allows us to stray. He's the bringer of peace between us and God. He is the sacrificial lamb. He is the giver of life. He is the embodiment of shalom or wholeness. He is the embodiment of peace that you get to experience today in finding a relationship with him. He is the one who is to come. He is the one who came. He is the one who is to come. This is why we celebrate Advent. We celebrate it because there's this anticipation. There's this expectation that there is hope even in the middle of crazy, even in the middle of chaos, even in the middle of our uncertainty, even in the middle where we're like, God, I don't know what's happening, but God does. He says, in the middle of 2020, I still give peace. This is the best news ever. You're like, when is 2020 going to end? I'm going to just let you know, like Y2K, it may not change. It may not change. It may not get any different December 31st to January 1. But I'll tell you who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the God of peace. And this is his promise. This is his promise to us in Matthew 11. I'm about to pray. It's good news for some of you. Good news. It's also a cue for the band to come up. But Matthew chapter 11 says, Jesus said, this is key. This is the key part right here. You know what it means whenever the writer says, this is what Jesus said. What he's saying right now is he's saying, listen, hear what he said. Hear what he said right here in this moment. Then Jesus said, come to me. Who? All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. And what? I will give you rest. This is the good news of the promise that despite what you're going through, he said, listen, this is the good news. Religion will not save you, but a relationship with Jesus will. You're constantly trying and doing, checking God off a list. Oh, went to church today. Whoo, mark it off. Here it is. I'm done. I don't have to come back till Wednesday. I don't know what the Santa thing's about. I'm going to just throw this out there. It's my dad. Anyway, but I don't know what this is about. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what all this craze is about. But I know this, that I get to have a relationship with the creator of heaven and earth. And that despite what I'm going through, this is reason, the last thing Paul prays before his life is coming to an end, and he recognizes it's coming to an end. This is the prayer for you and I today. He says in 2 Thessalonians, now may the Lord of peace, who? Himself, give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. You know the most frequent things, you know, if you are online, there's these codes. They know exactly where it is you're going. Me and Kelly are talking about something for Christmas. Next thing you know, my Instagram, there's ads being pulled up, right? It's like, what the heck just happened? They're watching us. They're watching right now. Anyway, so, do you know spiritually what would come up as the average of what it is that you talk about, that you pray about? What would pop up in the ads if it was your spiritual life? Would it be a complaining video? Would it be a video about worrying? Would it be a video about how you deal with animosity? I can tell you, years ago, one of the number one thing that I pray over myself, over my kids, over situations, when someone comes to me and says, my situation is this, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. First thing I pray is not, God, take this away. It's not my job. God may want you in there a little bit longer. It's not my job to pray you out of it. My job is, God, would you give them peace in the middle of whatever it is that they're going through? God, some of them are feeling fire right now. God, you kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in there all night long. You know why? Because some of the things that were binding them, it took a little bit while to burn that thing off. Right now, you feel like you're in the middle of the night, in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a fire, and you're going, God, where are you? God goes, I'm here. Stay. Stay a little bit. And in the middle of that fire, just pray this. May the God of peace himself give you peace in whatever situation and circumstance you're going through. And it will be a peace that blows people away. You know what? A peace that passes understanding. You know what that is? That means take the smartest people in the world. Take that smartest doctor who said, hey, listen, I'm telling you, you don't have much time to live. Well, I'm going to pray to the God of peace. The doctor comes back and goes, now, I don't understand what happened. I don't understand because I know that it said cancer at one point, but now it's not saying that. Oh, you know why? Because the God of peace showed up on my behalf. Because God gives favor to people in the middle of the night that society says don't deserve it. He made his birth announcement to shepherds. I believe you're going to stand in heaven one day and you're going to see a neighbor
You're going to see a person that you passed at Moto Mart every single morning when you were getting your fountain ski. Come on, somebody. You're going to see that person, and you're going to go, they were just a so-and-so, or they were just Joe down the street, or they were just, and you're going to see them there, and their mansion might be bigger than yours. You're going to see them there, and you're going to go, so-and-so's there. You know why? Because they were faithful where they were, and God showed up on their behalf. They didn't have all of the glamour. They didn't get the stage presence. They didn't get all of the followers on social media. They were just faithful where they were, and God shows up in the middle of the night. This is the life of the shepherd. This is why all of us in this room should have hope, because God showed up to a shepherd. If he showed up to the kings and queens, we're going to be sitting here going, I got to be a king or queen. He goes, no, I made you you. You just be you and watch me show up in the middle of your storm, in the middle of your crazy, in the middle of your chaos, in the middle of your crazy family, in the middle of your relationship issues. Watch me show up. This is the greatest hope that there is. And this is why Luke says what he says. What does he say? He says, first, they were terrified. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to just the people of Columbia. No, that's how we do it. Just to the people that live in Redbud, God's country. The Gears are experiencing a little bit of God's country right now as they moved after a lot of years in Jefferson County. They moved over to Illinois. Come on. And those of you clapping right now who live in Illinois, you're like, why? What are you doing? What is wrong with you? What? I'm clapping, but I don't know why. What? Jefferson, like, what are you? Your governor, it's free there. Like, I was just in O'Fallon yesterday. No mask, nothing. 45 minutes away. Why did you come to the promised land where Pharaoh is still in charge? What are you doing? Do you know, honestly, I, a couple months ago, was with an inspector who's inspected like 400 houses in 2020. And he says, typically, two or three people, Missouri to Illinois, Illinois houses. He said about 40% of the people that he's been doing inspections for have moved from Missouri to Illinois. The highest he's ever seen in all of his years of being an inspector. You know why? Because God's plan is not a plan of abandonment. God's plan is a plan of coming and being a solution. Well, what about the people that are leaving Missouri? Well, goodbye. You just took away your witness to be a solution to the problem. Oh, man, I did not even mean to go on that tangent. Thanks, Mary. Would you guys stand with me? All the people in this room who are planning to move to Missouri right now are also looking for a new church. You guys right now, could we just bow our heads? God, thank you for your promise. God, thank you that you love us where we are. God, we thank you that you sent your son just the right time, in the middle of our crazy, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the oppression of the Roman people, the Roman government, yet you sent a solution, the solution of Jesus. And God, thank you today that we can have a relationship with you no matter what we've done. No matter where we've been, just for a moment, just your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you don't mind. If you're in this room and you just say, you know what? I'm struggling in an area. I need Jesus today. I need Jesus to show up in the middle of my storm, in the middle of my circumstance. I need the peace that passes understanding. Maybe you got some chaos right now. There's a Savior named Jesus who's come to give you good news. But if you're in this room today, you mind just lifting a hand up real quick, saying, I need that peace. I need the peace of Jesus today. You just lift up a hand real quick. Thank you for your honesty. Nobody's looking around. This is you and Jesus right now. God, I pray right now for every hand lifted, for every person in this room. Maybe they feel like they're in the middle of the night. Maybe they feel like the shepherds felt unworthy, inadequate, unloved. May they feel like they've been walked out on, abandoned. Relationship after relationship, job after job, conflict after conflict. Yet, God, you show up in the middle of it, and you bring us good news that will bring great joy to all people. So, God, we lean in on you today, and thank you for that peace. Thank you for that peace. Can we just sing this prayer right now? It's just simple words. You can have it all, Lord. Every part of me, every part of my heart, every part of my world. God, I give you my life.